called this series Lip Service. And how about we pray before we go any further? Did you come expecting to hear from the Lord? Yeah? Did you come expecting to hear from the Lord? Okay. If you did, why don't you put your hands out like this? And if you know the person next to you, put your hand on top, just on top, like a plate, second plate. Don't grip it. Don't grip it. Don't grip it. Just lay it gently. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. It's a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. I pray that you'd help me, help us, God, to grow into the kind of people, the kind of church that you've called us to be. Help us to embody what you've called us to embody, Lord. Help us to be more like you, Christ Jesus, that we'd be the church that brings pleasure to you, a pleasing church, an adoring church that is in awe of your majesty, is obedient in your ways, and wants to walk in all that you have for us. Pray that you'd help me. Pray that salvation would be upon your house in somehow, some way. As we just talk about trying to be better believers, more faithful, more devoted, somehow, some way, you can draw lost people to you. So I pray that anyone who's distant, who's grown cold, this could be a welcome home kind of a Sunday, Lord. It's in your mighty name that we pray. And all God's people said together, amen. Before you grab your seat, just say, I think I love you. Go ahead. Before you grab your seat. Praise the Lord. Have you ever seen this thing? It's on like, I feel like it's like bits on late night television, where they will take like a famous musician, musical act, band, singer, whatever, and they'll put them in like a random like subway station or street corner, and they'll have them like perform, but they're performing undercover. Undercover. Everybody say undercover lover. Don't say that. Take that back. Holy Spirit, come back to us. They're undercover. Like, you know, like they try to put on like makeup or like a mustache. When in doubt, throw a mustache on. I think they like, have you seen some of these performances? Who have they done that with? I know like Bono, Miley Cyrus, Ed Sheeran. Oh my goodness, right? It's like, who else? Anybody else? Christina Aguilera, Xtina? Oh my goodness, honey, Xtina. My wife loves Christina. I've seen it. And then, like, you know, it has different kind of outcomes, but, you know, especially with, you know, the singers, oftentimes they do it, and, like, you know, they're so talented that even still, like, they could, like, draw a crowd. It's like, you know, people hear it, they know it, right? Remember Uncle Drew? Like, remember Uncle Drew? Kyrie Irving, if you follow basketball, he's a lot of nose, a lot of head shakes. It's okay, I'll quickly tell you. One of the most phenomenal basketball players. Right, Tim, you know Kyrie Irving, right? And he's 6'7". He knows Kyrie Irving. And, you know, he dressed up like this old man called Uncle Drew, and he went on their basketball court like he could barely walk, and then like halfway through it, like somehow he got healed. He got healed, and then he started balling them up and just dunking and going crazy. It's kind of like what would happen, like if I, you know, went undercover to play basketball, right? Right? Guys, my father-in-law is here. Come on. Pump me up a little bit, okay? It's kind of like that, right, church? Yeah, see? You know, no big deal. I want to tell you about an account that happened about a decade ago, and similar circumstances, vastly different outcome. Okay, I'm just going to read it. About a decade ago in Washington, D.C., a man quietly took his place against a metro wall. He pulled out his violin, set his hat on the ground, he began to play. And on this day, he'd chosen 6 selections from Bach. And during his performance, over 1,000 people walked by. Some stopped to listen briefly. Some gave symphony money. And on several occasions, some children would stop, but their parents would hurry them along, say, hey, you know, it's just another street guy. Let's go. The beggar on the street that morning was world-renowned Joshua Bell. Anybody ever heard of this guy? Some of you. The instrument that was in his hands was a violin valued at $3.5 million. And just a couple days earlier, people packed a Boston theater to hear him play, paying on average about $100 a seat. And on that day, he netted a mere $32, mostly from sympathy. When he finished, there was no applause, no standing ovation, nothing to acknowledge his talent on display. He simply put the violin back into its case and walked away. For nearly an hour, no grandeur, No one noticed, no one recognized, no one valued, no one honored. Church, dishonor is treating something of value as though it is common. And for me, I don't want to be like the passerbyers of this violin performance, of someone holding something that is valued at $3.5 million, performing arguably one of the best on the planet, and to be guilty of simply walking by, missing something out of my blindness or lack of awareness that God had presented such an amazing and valuable gift right in our midst. It's one thing when it's a story like this of some stranger who just has to be great at violin, but how often do we pass by the amazing God-given gifts of people and of things and of resources that God has put into our very everyday walk, and yet we treat it as though it is just another common thing? When I think about our church, I want us to be the kind of church that knows what it is to honor. Amen? I want us to be the kind of church that knows what it is to bring value, not just treat things as common, but actually see them for their immeasurable amounts of value that people bring into this house. I want us to be the kind of church that when we walk and gather as the people of God, we know what it is to honor those who God has given us. Can I tell you, there's some amazing gifts in this place. There are some amazing gifts. Shout out Chanel. Grand opening of the store yesterday. Was it the grand opening? Liz Nell, official. And it was her birthday, praise the Lord. You know what? I want to honor you. Amen? There's such amazing gifts. There's amazing gifts, and if we just treat every single part of our church as though it is common, I believe that we too would be like those people who passed by that $1 million violin. We just treat it as common. We just treat it as everyday. But God is all about honor. And when we embody this virtue of honor, it elevates everything. Elevates our families, elevates our businesses, elevates our relationship, it elevates our church. But like I spoke about last week, the greatest enemy to honor is over-familiarity. And Matthew 13, verse 57 says that Jesus spoke to the crowd and he said that a prophet is not without honor except in his own hometown and in his own home. And the Bible says that he did not do many miracles there. What we all know intuitively is that we live in a world that does not honor. We live in a world and in the times and in a culture that wants to, if the culture brings anybody up, which is known to do, it does so seemingly just to be able to pull them back down again. And it seems like the world lifts people up, but doesn't it also seem like as high as they'll lift them up is as fast and as hard as they will pull them down? I think about quarterback Joe Burrow from the Bengals. I promise you, keep an eye open for that. Because all through heading up to the Super Bowl, they were saying, man, this guy's got so much swag. This guy's amazing. He's beloved. He's so cool. He's the modern quarterback. I promise you, give it a year or two, and we're going to be hearing about how much of a diva he is, how much of a locker room cancer is, because the media and the culture love to lift people up and then bring them crashing down. The church should be a different place. We should be counter to the world in this regard. We should be the people who's not known for tearing people down and eating our own, but we should be a people who knows what it is to lift one another up. How many people want to be a part of that kind of a church? Wow. Let's try that one again. Seriously, do we need to just practice this? Come on, turn to your neighbor and just say, I honor you. I honor you. Come on, turn to someone that maybe you don't even know him. Just turn to him and say, you're special. Go ahead. You're special. It's nice, isn't it? And guess what? That's about as superficial as it can get. And yet, what did it do? It brought life. It brought encouragement. It brought a spirit of joy. So let me ask you again, how many people want to be a part of a faith community that embodies and knows how to honor? Come on, make some noise. I heard it from a great pastor at one of our conferences years ago, but the church should know how to honor up, honor down, and honor all around. The Bible says to honor parents. Come on. The Bible says to honor parents. Come on. You're here with your parents. Go ahead. Honor them. Go ahead. Look at them. Yeah, look at them and just say, I love you. Go ahead. Do it. Hey, just like this. I love you. Honor your parents. Honor your pastors. Honor in the home. Honor your employees. Honor your boss. Honor the police. Honor the governor. Honor the council, the school board. Honor your governor. Honor the president. Oh, we'll get to it. Honor everybody. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17, it simply puts it like this. Honor all people. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. And honor the king. Honor the king. The context of this is crazy when Peter wrote it. Sometimes we see these verses and we just treat them like empty platitudes. We're like, yeah, sure, whatever. Probably easy for them. You just wrote it down, pass it on. But the context of when this was written is that Peter wasn't saying honor the king, King Jesus. Honor was talking about a Roman king, and his name was Nero. So bad, there's a Star Trek villain now named after this guy. And King Nero, to hear Peter speak to the believers in Jerusalem and say, honor this king, would have been crazy. He was a madman, eventually hated by the Romans themselves. And he mercilessly tortured and killed hundreds of Christians in all kinds of crazy, cruel, and demeaning ways. I'm talking garden party executions. And if Peter were writing today, he'd simply say, honor the president. Regardless of your opinions, Democrat, Republican, in our church, you just can't get away from this call to honor. And it's just so not the way of the world, is it? Can I remind you, church, you were never called to be like the world. Being a Christian is countercultural. And the more you start to blend in, some of us, half of us blend in with the world in some years more than others, it feels like, seemingly. And then it flip-flops somehow. Can I remind you, church, you were never called to blend in with the ways of the world. You were always supposed to stand out. And one of the greatest ways I think that we do stand out is when we are a people who honor. Jesus was talking to the Jewish people. Again, let me take you to the times. Under Roman occupation. And in Matthew chapter 5, verse 38, he says this, talking about revenge. He says, you've heard the law that says that the punishment must match the injury. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. Come on, look somebody in the eye next to you. Go ahead, look somebody, look them deep in the eyes and say, give me that tooth, girl. That's weird. That was weird. Don't do that. I'm sorry, babe. It says, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. But I say, Jesus says, do not resist an evil person. If somebody slaps you on the right cheek, offer the other cheek also. One more time. No, I'm just kidding. And if you are sued in court and your shirt is taken from you, give your coat too. Listen to this. If a soldier demands that you carry his gear for a mile, carry it 2 miles. A Roman soldier could demand that you as a Jew and just walk and says, man, I don't feel like carrying this thing. You carry it. You carry it for a mile. And you had to. And Jesus says, hey, stop living with a have-to mentality. You know what's going to turn this world upside down? When you have to carry it one, but you as a believer, humble, honoring follower of Christ says, let me carry it an extra mile for you. Jesus was and still is showing us this. It is more important to give justice and mercy than it is to demand we receive it. Okay, come on, I already know I'm offending some of y'all. So in vogue to demand my justice. So in vogue to demand my mercy. So in vogue to be like, well, it needs to be fair for me. And I get it. And to a degree, there's nothing wrong with that. But Jesus is saying, above that sentiment, why don't you instead be a person of justice? Be a person who gives justice to others at your expense. Give mercy to others at your expense more than you demand it for yourself. But so often, it is we in the church who are more likely to cancel each other than we are to cover each other. Did you hear me? Did you hear me? We need to know what it is to honor one another, especially in the family of faith. We're supposed to be on the same team. And can I tell you this? Greater is the bonds in the family of faith than in the families of whatever issue in the world there may happen to be. But it seems like, man, there is more mutual honor and respect even on a random football team that they have for each other than we do on our own team. I wonder why. Why is it so difficult to honor? Can I tell you, I think it's one word. You ready? It's simple. Pride. Pride. We got a pride problem. In Proverbs chapter 15, verse 33, it says this: fear of the Lord teaches wisdom, but humility precedes honor. Humility precedes honor. Why do we have such trouble honoring people, whether above, beside, or below? We have a pride problem. We had the police chief in our first service. And it was so good to be able to honor him, but I had to make a confession to this man. I said, hey, listen, I got to be honest with you. I did not grow up as somebody who honored the police, okay? I was raised a single mom, okay? And we were very low income. Shout out free lunch people. Okay, praise the Lord. I ran from police. I stayed away from police. In the neighborhoods I grew up, we had a special call for when we saw the police, just so that everyone would disperse. That's where I came from. And so in my growing up, I had a problem honoring police. I had a problem honoring teachers. I had a problem honoring leaders of any sort. I had a problem honoring even my own mother for most of my life. And one of the first issues, don't you know, that the Lord had to deal with me upon giving my life to Jesus was this problem called pride. And it wasn't until God began to deal with my pride that God could begin to walk me in the beginning steps of walking in honor. Honor is ultimately about humility. Overfamiliarity comes out of a prideful spirit. See, we can't honor those above us because in pride, we say, well, they should be at my level. We want to bring them down. We're prideful. I'm going to esteem somebody. Who do they think they are? Pride wants to bring them down to our level. We can't honor down those people that even serve us because we don't want to be confused or seen as being on a lower level. It's pride. Romans chapter 12, verse 10 says this, church, be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. It says it again in Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. That, my friends, is the Christian way. When we begin to actually put other people ahead of ourselves. Isn't that crazy? But the rhetoric of these times is, no, put yourself first. No, take care of number one. Here's what happens when we walk in a spirit of honor. I'm going to tell you some rewards of an honoring spirit. Okay, number one, honor creates room for the power of God. Anybody want the power of God in their life? Anybody want the power of God in their business? Anybody want the power of God in this church? Anybody want the power of God in their home? Well, we see it. Jesus, like I already read in the beginning, he was not honored in his hometown. No miracles took place there. Matthew chapter 10, verse 40 goes on to say that if we welcome a prophet as a prophet, we will receive a prophet's reward. Whoever welcomes a righteous person as a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. So, you know what this says to me? However you honor determines the kind of response from God you get back. It was a divine impromptu moment, but was anybody here for our second service last week? Anybody? You're here for second service last week? Anybody? Come on. Yeah, a lot of heads. Okay, cool. Great tailgate party. But did anybody get the sense of just like, yo, there was an open heaven in service last week? I mean, like, I talked with Montre and I was just like, dude, I don't know if I've ever been in a service with just a tangible seeming presence of the Lord in times of worship. It was just thick, right? Turn your name and say, it was thick. And I don't know why. It was tailgate Sunday. Some people said it might have been because there were so many Dallas Cowboys jerseys in the house. Amen. Others say in spite of, praise the Lord. But I thought about it, and you know what was crazy? We had a young woman. Her name was Hannah. Were y'all here when she led for the first time? Where has she been? Goodness. Right? Killed it. First time leading. I remember, you know, months before her starting just to join the team, she was a nervous wreck. She was over there like looking around like, you know, like she was just like, it's foreign to her. Getting adjusted, finally led us on. I actually believe that has something to play in the power of the Lord. Because you know what we did? We received a prophet. As a prophet, we got a prophet's reward. We received a worship leader. Though she may not have seen even herself that way, we received her as a worship leader. And we got a worship leader's reward. I'll tell you what. You get as good of a preacher as you want every Sunday. Amen? I'm serious. Well, I go to another church. I tell you what, there's not good preaching everywhere. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm being serious. Every time I walk into a place, I make a decision. I'm going to hear from the Lord, from this man of God, this woman of God. I am going to hear a message from heaven. Doesn't matter where I go. Why? Because ultimately, it's not really about who's holding the mic. Ultimately, it's about, am I going to receive a prophet as a prophet? And for me, I will always receive the prophet's reward, because for me, I will hear a word from the Lord. As soon as that Bible is open and the word of the Lord is preached, I'm going to hear a word from God. Doesn't matter who's up here, whether it be a burning bush or a talking ass, I'm going to hear the word of the Lord. And I wonder how often we're just like, Montre. Yeah, he's good. We know he's good. Yeah, no, he's going to do good. No. I just wonder how often we've just decided, yeah, used to that guy, and we take him for granted. When we honor, we receive the power of God. Honor builds a home. Can I talk to the husbands one time? Girl. Was that Pearl Jam? Jeremiah Smoker. 1 Peter 3, speaking to the husbands, says, honor your wives. Scripture does not give the same command to wives to honor their husbands, by the way. We'll just run with that. Submission, mutual submission amongst husband and wife is called for, and it is reiterated to the wives, another charge for submission to their husbands. But for the husbands to the wife, it's explicitly charged to honor their wives. Husbands, when's the last time you honored your wife? I did it a couple weeks ago. I'm not going to do it today because every time I try to honor my wife, waterworks starts happening. So we're just going to move on from that. But this same Peter who tells husbands to honor their spouses instructs wives to submit to and obey, submit and obey to their husbands. And Paul reminds wives to submit to their husbands as to the Lord in Ephesians chapter 5, 22, as to the Lord. Truth be told, you can't ever effectively do this until you know how to submit to the Lord first. That's the beginning. But if you're a married woman, Maybe you see this charge and you find yourself saying, that's an impossibility. I cannot honor this man. He's not a good leader. He's not obedient to the Lord. I got to get out of jail free card because he's not following the Lord, which means I don't have to honor him. And what you're not realizing, and this does work both ways truly, is that if you treat your spouse as ordinary and as common, you will never get the reward of the God-fearing husband or wife that God wants for you. But I'm just telling you, ladies, if you treat your husband as common, you will never get a man who feels empowered to lead your family. But if you honor him, you give him the occasion to become honorable, if you treat him, speak to him as the man you want him to be, with grace and with honor, I'm just going to tell you the secret to all this. He will be who you call him to be. Maybe for you, you've realized, you've come to this conclusion that you just want to get a better man. I'll tell you the secret. You have permission to go and get a better man by honoring the one that you've already got. Because when my wife honors me, it's amazing. I literally am like, who is she talking about right now? And I'm just like, oh, yeah, that's me. It changes me. Honor builds a home. Honor brings peace. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, dear brothers and sisters, fix your thoughts on what is true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, admirable. Think about things that are excellent, worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all that you learn and receive from me, everything you've heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you. When you fix your thoughts on what is true, what is right, what is pure, what is lovely, and what is honorable, the Bible says, then the God of peace will be with you. And what I know and believe to be the chief ill, dare I say, the chief devil of our days, is depression, anxiety. And it is no coincidence to me that that being the chief ill of our day directly coincides with spirit of honor being at an all-time low. We honor nothing, and we honor no one. What would happen? Come on, let's talk like it's 2022. What would happen to our mental health when we stop being a people so focused on everything that divides us and everything needing to be torn down and started focusing on, Lord, how can we put others above ourselves? So how do we do it? Can we get practical? Okay, some quick tips, some quick keys. Number one, honor with your wealth. Honor with your money. Honor can be tangible. Honor can be quantifiable. Honor can be definitive. Honor can have substance. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9, it says, honor the Lord with your... honor the Lord with your... with your monies. With your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Tithing is honoring God. And baby Jesus, the newborn, wise men came bringing gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Come on. They knew what it was to honor this king, newborn king. He knew how to honor up. You know what honoring down with your wealth looks like? Come on, how many people are already thinking about lunch right now? Be honest, it's all good. Come on, where are you going? Golden Corral? Where are you going? Cracker Barrel? Come on, holler at me. Where are you going? I used to wait tables. Can you believe that? So good. Sometimes I miss it. I miss all those people screaming at me. Then I became a pastor. What was I thinking? Gosh. I remember working on Sunday. Gosh. I'm working the Sunday lunch shift? Gosh, those people. You know who those people are? Church people. You know what honoring down looks like? Hey, it means being generous. It means being good tippers. Nate and Emily, key parts of our church, just got engaged. They're planning a wedding. Guess what? They're single. Guess what? They're still broke. Praise the Lord. You know what honor could look like in that situation? Giving them a holy handshake at some time in the next few weeks. A holy handshake. You know what that is? A handshake with a 20 inside. That's a holy handshake. What is that? It's honor. One of the ways you honor is with your wealth. Another way you honor? With your heart and your words. Jesus was rebuking the Pharisees in Matthew chapter 15 about their hardness towards God. And he says, you hypocrites! Come on, turn to somebody. Turn to somebody. You hypocrites! Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you, for he wrote, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. And we hear this and we get the point, and the point truly is, it is this. It says, it's not just about lip service, which is the series namesake. It's got to be in your heart. Amen? Don't just fake the funk. Don't just be like, but you know in your heart of hearts, you got nothing but dishonor for that person. No. He's saying it needs to be a transformative inside. It needs to get to your heart of hearts. It should change the very throne room of who you are, of your being. And yet, you properly read this, it does not discount the power of lip service, though. He says, these people honor me with their lips. He's essentially saying, they're doing good. That is a good thing. That's a right thing. But their hearts are far from me. You need lips and heart. You need heart and words. Says it should be both. We got to use our lips. We got to use our words. Amen? Come on, if your spouse is still asking you, do you still love me? It probably means you haven't said it enough. But far too many of us are like, hey, did I tell you I love you on our wedding day? All right, well, if it changes, I'll let you know. No. Heart and lips. Amen? Same thing. It's one of the ways I even understand praise and worship. We've been talking about worship a lot because it matters. Oh, Lord, I love you with my heart. God wants your heart. God wants your lips, too. Sing unto him a new song. God wants your, like, God wants the totality of you. And we ought not to compartmentalize, because honor is heart and honor is words. Which is why we got to be people who don't just talk about it, people who do it. Amen? I would love to invite Miss Marcy Shea up to the platform. Would you mind? Come on, church, can we honor her? Come on. This is my wife, Megs. Honey, this is Marcy Shea. She is the Henrico County School Board Chair. The school board, y'all. How funny is this? Like, in this service, we're going to do this for the next couple weeks. And you know, in our first service, I already said we had the police chief. And we got some feedback from the different precincts. We got Richmond City tonight as well in our downtown location. And we got back from so many of these people just saying, thank you. This is so timely. So many of our officers just feel like no one respects or honors them whatsoever. And we kind of know the times we're living in, right? Like, we're aware of the zeitgeist. We know what people talk about, right? And so we had chief of police in our first service, and we have the chair of the Henrico County School Board. What a crazy church this is. Here's what I know. You know who's been receiving a ton of dishonor? Is our teachers. The schools, administrators, principals. A ton of dishonor. I don't care what your opinion is. Truly about most things. No, but I know I'm supposed to honor you, and I do. I know I'm supposed to pray for you, and I do. And I just cannot imagine the sort of difficulty you've had to face, the kind of interactions that you've had to face, and the horror stories that you may have been hearing. And I just want you to know that there is a community of believers. First of all, this woman is a believer. She's a sister in Christ. I asked you, I said, what are you doing? What do you normally do on Sundays? And she says, I'm normally at Second Baptist. Praise the Lord. I thought I was going to have to be on the worship set this morning. So you're lucky you got me. I was like, that's awesome. She's a sister in Christ. She's a sister in Christ. Can I share what you just discovered? And so she agreed to come some weeks ago. And she just found out 4 days ago.
No, right before Christmas.
Right before Christmas. Oh, good. Okay. And you'd experienced this before. She'd had cancer. Went into remission. And right before Christmas, you discovered that you have stage 4 cancer. And you can imagine what kind of report the doctors might be giving you in something like that. And I'm just so blessed that you would still decide to join with us here. She was just talking about how she got to take a family photo with her kids, and her daughter almost got kicked out of the photo. But Marcy was like, well, I'm going to lose my hair soon, so she probably let her in. And I honor you to be able to come. It is my honor, our honor as a church, to be able to say thank you for your service. Thank you. And I just want you to know there's a community of believers here that is praying for you, that is praying for our administrators, that is praying for our teachers, in and through it all. I know there's 100 different opinions about it all, and yet we honor you and we pray for you. We're going to pray for healing as well. Because, church, how many times have we seen the power of God bring healing in people's bodies? Amen? Marcy, is it okay if I put a hand on your shoulder? Honey, would you pray? Church, would you stretch out your hands? Let's pray over her.
All right, let's lift our faith. Lord, we thank you. You are a supernatural God. Lord, we thank you that you are moving so mightily. We thank you that you are a power working God. We thank you that you see every need, and you see the need of Marcy, God. You see the cancer in her body, God, and you call it to go away in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that you are a mighty, powerful, miracle working God. Still today, you bring healing, God. I pray that you would heal Marcy's body, God. I pray that the next time she goes to the doctor, it would be there. We can't find it. In Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you for what she's doing, God. I thank you Lord, I'm just thankful for the way that she talks to people. Can I just say a word, actually? I think God's just encouraging you that the way that you talk to people and with work and stuff like that, all the of your employees or whoever, I don't know who all you're talking to, but that they're very encouraged by the spirit that you carry, that... I'm sorry. That they're just so everything that every time that you come into a room, they are brought to life. And I think that people are going to know Jesus by the way that you carry yourself, by the words that you speak over them. And so thank you for that. Thank you.
Amen. Let me honor you as well. Come on, church. Let's pray one more prayer of honor. Lord, I honor Marcy. I thank you for, Lord, the call that you've set before her. I thank you that she is a believer, a sister in Christ. And she is that above anything else. Yeah. And so, Lord, I just pray, God, that you would guide her, that you would order her steps more and more every day, day in, day out, that you would let her words be like that, Lord, that staves off wrath, yeah. Lord, a kind and gentle word, and that through it she'd have wisdom, Lord, that she would have impact, and that your presence, your goodness, your mercy, and your favor would be on her all the days of her life. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Come on, church, one more time. Can we honor Marcy? We got flowers for you and a gift card, I think. Go ahead and grab your seat. Worship team, come on up. That's so cool. I'll close with this last thought and how we're to honor. And it's simply just this undergirding truth, practical truth, that we are to honor lavishly. Not held back. Not saving our roses for when it's too late, because that's what we are in the habit of doing, isn't it? But just be the kind of people who just lavish honor. I think the kind of honor we're called to is not a measured honor. It's not even a qualifying honor. It's a lavish honor. Romans 12:10 in another translation says this: love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Outdo one another. Listen, how many people who have a competitive spirit that resonates with you? I love that. Like, I have a competitive spirit. I will race you to the car still. I'm a grown man. I will race. If you call shotgun, you have a rule. I get to the doorknob first. It's the doorknob. What? That's mine. And so hearing this encouragement, hey, you got the green light to outdo one another in showing honor. Really, man, I love that. What would it look like? What would it look like? What would it look like? What would it look like in your home if you endeavored to be better at honoring than your spouse? What would it look like to be better at honoring than even your own parents? Like, what if you just changed it up? What would it look like when the family gets together that you just, your prime directive was just like, man, I'm going to honor above all else, lavishly. What would it look like in our neighborhoods? What would it look like in our communities? What would it look like in our schools? What would it look like in our church? Went out of your way. What it would look like if you went out of your way to honor. You know, like, you think about that phrase, go out of your way, as in, like, not the way you normally go. You go out of your way to honor. I'm going to buy flowers today. I'm going to write a card today. My goodness, when's the last time you wrote a card? I'm going to go out of my way to not just heart, but lips. There's a Henrico County, Marcy. There's a guy. His name's Terrell Hughes in the back. He's the director of public works. He's probably gonna be the governor one day. I'll be honest with you. Probably gonna vote for this guy one day if he wants it. And he serves here. You know, we're friends. We play spades together. We're so much better than him, though. Can I get an amen? Yeah, this is good. He's not good at it. But we keep playing with him. And, you know, he calls me Kino, friends. And a few months ago, he went out of his way. And he comes up to me and he calls me Kino. But on this day, he said, Pastor. I knew something was up. He said, Pastor, you have led the past 2 years so well. Thank you. Gave me a card. Did you give me some money in that card? You did. No, that wasn't like fishing. I think you did, actually. I'm not fishing for that, but he said that, and he says, you've honored so well. Thank you. From Brittany, from me, my kids. And I just want to tell you, church, power of honor. And there have been multiple points in the past 2 years where I have felt like a complete failure. Where I have felt like, gosh, I don't think I'm doing any of this right. I don't think I'm navigating these issues well at all. And there's so many people who've reminded me that. But when you just have one that just says, I'm going to go out of my way to honor. That one moment changed my life. That one moment can keep a man going. Where in your life, in your home, in your marriage, in your family, is the power of honor waiting to be unleashed? Because I believe when we do, God so blesses it. John chapter 12, verse 20 says, we're wrapping up. Jesus says, if anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. And if anyone serves me, him, my Father, will honor. We serve a God who wants to honor you. And we serve a God who was the living embodiment of honor. He was the restorer of honor. When people in the society in whom the religious said, these people are not worthy of honor, Jesus would walk on the scene of harlots and the scene of thieves and the scene of adulterers, and in the very midst of people in whom society said deserved no honor, he was the one that restored their value, worth, dignity, and honor. It was the Pharisees that said, this leper, ew! Ring the bell! I don't want to be around them. I don't want to catch their filth. These tax collectors, they've been robbing us of our money. Jesus, how could you eat with them? This adulterer pulled in the midst, the very midst in the moment of her adultery, pulled out on the streets, and the law said, she shall be stoned in the presence of the sin and dishonor. The Pharisees avoided and cowered, but in the presence of sin and dishonor from the people, Jesus stepped in as the remedy and as the solution and as our deliverer. Have you encountered this Jesus who does not look upon you today in condemnation, who does not look upon you today and think of all the ways in which you are dishonorable? But because of him dying on a cross some 2,000 years, he, and only he, could make you honorable in the sight of our God.